Will you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John? We're reading chapter 9, verses 35 through 41 as we continue our study from the book of John, John chapter 9, verses 35 through 41. This is the word of God. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we come to your word, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to understand spiritual things, to see with spiritual eyes, and to have faith in you. We know that this is not our own doing, this is not our own ability, that through rational understanding and arguments we come to know who you are, but it is a miracle that you do in your people's lives when you open the eyes of our hearts to see the truth of the gospel. We thank you that we are able to see this in these verses today and trust in you for salvation. And we pray for anyone, whether they are here or online, that they might be able to see with spiritual eyes as well, to believe in you and to worship you. We thank you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been looking forward to look with you on these verses because I find in them important things for us as Christians and also very important things for you if you are not yet a believer, something that will help you to understand how you can trust in Jesus and believe in him for salvation. We're at the end of chapter 9, and if we were to summarize, there are two ways in which we could summarize the content of chapter 9. One way will be that we could see that John is telling us about Jesus healing a man who was blind from birth. And the result of that is that this man goes out from there and he's then questioned and attacked by religious leaders who didn't believe in Jesus and didn't like the fact that he was able now to testify of the power of God, to the point that he was expelled from the synagogue, which will be the church of his time. Then you have that way of seeing the test, Jesus healing a man and his life becoming a trial because the religious leaders didn't like what happened in his life. The other way I could see these verses is that you could divide them actually into two parts. One in which John focuses on physical sight and physical blindness. And the second part, which is the part that we are looking at today, which is focused on spiritual sight and spiritual blindness. We've gone through that part, which the emphasis is on physical sight and spirit and physical blindness. For example, we start the test with a man who was blind by birth. Then Jesus heals the man. Then the man goes out and meets his neighbors, and his neighbors question him, asking him how his eyes were opened. To that he testified that it was Jesus who healed him. Then he goes out from there, and he's taken actually by his neighbors to the Pharisees, who question him also how he received his sight. He answered to them or testified to them that Jesus put mud on his eyes and washed them, and he sees. Then the religious leaders didn't believe what this man said. Therefore, they went to the parents and they asked the same question: is this your son? And how is it that now he sees? And the parents testified, yes, this is our son, and we know that he was blind and now he's able to see. But we don't know how he has recovered or got his sight. Then the religious leaders go back to this man and they ask the same question again or challenge him again. And he said, only thing I know is that I was blind, now I see. And then we are by the end of that section, seeing that the man testifies to them and to anyone around there that never since the world began it has been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. What he's seeing here is that is a lot of testimony of a miracle of healing a man who was born blind and now is able to see. Now, we also learned from the first verses of this chapter that when the disciples of Jesus asked Jesus why this man was blind, Jesus said to them that he was blind so that the works of God will be displayed. Therefore, he was blind so that he will receive sight from Jesus' power, and Jesus' power will be displayed so people could see his divine nature. But it is not only pointing to the fact that Jesus is able to give physical sight. He has the power to be able to give physical sight to a man who was born blind, but it's also, or the passage is also about the power that Jesus has to give a spiritual sight to people who are spiritually blind. And that's what we're seeing in these verses today. These verses today are focusing two things: a spiritual sight and a spiritual blindness. Jesus then heard that this man was spelled out, cast out of the synagogue, and he goes and pursue him to continue ministering to him. It is important that Jesus does that. If we think about another incident when Jesus heals another man, this is when he heals somebody who was a paralytic. And the first thing that he did before he healed the man was that he forgave his sins. People were murmuring around and questioning with what authority he was able to forgive sins. Only God could forgive sins. And Jesus said, what is easier, to forgive sins or to tell this man, lift up, take your bed, and walk? And he demonstrated that he had the power to forgive sins by healing the man. But at that moment, Jesus did the most difficult part first, which was to forgive sins. Because to forgive sins, he had to go to the cross, die on the cross. But to heal the man, he only had to say the words, be healed, and he could heal him because he was God. But in this instance, he starts with the easier part, which is that he heals the man. But if he have left this man being able to see, healed, being able to see for the first time and for the rest of his life, just like that, he would not have offered him eternal hope. He could have gone into hell being able to see in this world. But Jesus is refining this man's spiritual sight. Remember, this man has given good answers to the religious leaders. He's a prophet. Nobody has ever done something like him. If he was a sinner, he could not do the kind of things that he's doing. That's the kind of answers that he has given to the religious leaders. But this man still needs to know more about Jesus. So he knew who was the one who healed him and what else he's offering to him, which was not only physical sight. And I told you before that I believe that there was a work of the Holy Spirit in this man that made him to answer the way he answered to the religious leaders and to stand firm in his faith until he gets to the point that he meets Jesus, actually for the first time able to see Jesus face to face. Jesus found him and he asked him this question: do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Son of Man? When I read this question, the first question that I was wondering was this man able to understand what Jesus meant by the Son of Man? Well, there are different opinions on that. Some people argue that, yes, he understood what he meant by that, and therefore he is able to answer the way he answered. In fact, I will say this, probably if I would ask you right now, and people in our church, what does it mean to be the Son of Man? I would say that yes, maybe many of you will answer right because you have studied this before, because you have read sermons or heard sermons on this before, you have read about it. But some of you may not know, and you might guess, Son of Man means that he is speaking about his human nature. But in fact, the Son of Man, which is Jesus' favorite word to describe himself, means more than that. Maybe it's possible that, yes, he understood that when Jesus said to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? He thought about Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. I'll read it for you. I saw in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancients of Days. And he was presented before him, and to him, to the Son of Man, was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Means that the Son of Man is that one, the Messiah who is coming, will receive and inherit the kingdom of God forever. So yes, it is possible that this man understood or knew that Jesus was talking about the Messiah, the one that they were waiting for. That's a possibility. But remember, who is this man? He's a blind man and he was a beggar. Yes, it is possible that he was really paying attention in the synagogue when this the scriptures were read, but there is also the possibility that he wasn't quite sure what Jesus meant when he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? But one thing we could read from his answer is that he was ready to believe in Jesus. He was ready to go the direction Jesus was pointing him to. I think that we should not be surprised about that. This man received sight from Jesus. This man was born blind, and his entire life he was blind until the moment when Jesus did that work in his life. Therefore, I would not be surprised that though he wasn't quite sure what Jesus meant exactly when he said the Son of Man, he was ready to say, who is he, sir? Who is he? That I might believe in him. He didn't even know that Jesus was talking about himself. But he was ready to believe and accept and follow the direction that Jesus was giving to him. So whether he understood that the Son of Man was the one promised in the Old Testament or he wasn't quite sure he was ready to believe in Jesus. Jesus said to him, which is wonderful words from Jesus here, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." Why I'm saying this is wonderful? Because this man was blind, and right now he's able to see God, Jesus himself. "You have seen him. Here I am. And I am the one who is speaking to you." How will he recognize that Jesus was the one who put mud in his eyes if he wasn't able to see him? Remember, Jesus told him to go and wash. He went wash his eyes. He returned seeing. But we're not told that he was interacting with Jesus right away after that. He was interacting with his neighbors. He recognized Jesus' voice. He recognized that he was the man who spoke to him and did the miracle in his life. But right now, he is able to see Jesus face to face. You know, that's what we are, Lord, looking forward, right? In the future. We believe by faith, not by sight. But we're looking forward to that day when we will be able to see Jesus face to face. We hear his voice as we read his word. But one day we will be able to see what this man saw, Jesus. Now look what this man does, which is very important because it is not the only thing that he does, but it's the thing that anybody who gets a spiritual sight does. Remember, we're talking about spiritual blindness and a spiritual sight. He responded to Jesus, "Lord, I believe. I have faith. I believe in the Son of Man, and I believe that you are the Son of Man." I believe. Faith. And the second thing that he does is that he worshiped him. That he worshiped, the man worshiped Jesus. If you find a translation from that Greek word that is here for worship, is to prostrate oneself before. He bowed down before Jesus. Now, what is that thing that Jesus doesn't do in this moment? He does not reject this man's worship. Jesus does not reject his man's worship. Some people believe that Jesus is a good prophet, that he is a good man. They believe in the historical Jesus as a good prophet, but they don't believe that Jesus is God. But Jesus is receiving this man's worship. Jesus is saying, "Your sins is forgiven. Your sins are forgiven," to the paralytic. Therefore, he is claiming to be God. You cannot say that Jesus is a good man and a good prophet and no God, because whether he is a liar or he is God. We find in Acts 14 verses 11 through 15 that when Paul and Barnabas were at Lystra and people tried to worship them, they rejected their worship because they were not God. But Jesus didn't refuse, didn't reject the worship. This man was doing what he was created for, to worship God, to worship Jesus. Now, if we think about us, any one of us who have received spiritual sight have these two same responses to Jesus. Then we believe. We are able to believe in Jesus. You have not seen Jesus face to face, but you are able to believe only because, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, you have been born again and you can see the kingdom of God. You can enter into the kingdom of God. And then you are here today. Why are you here today? To worship. To worship. I have some relatives who, if you ask them, they will say, we are Christians. And you ask them all the right questions, they will give you all the right answers. I'm not sure if they are believers only because one thing, I don't see happening in their life. They don't worship God. They don't gather together with the people of God to worship God. If you believe in Jesus, you will prostrate yourself before Him. You will gather together to worship, and not only when you gather together to worship, you will worship Him every day of your life. Because you know He is the Son of Man, the one to whom all dominion has been given, and all kingdom for eternity. Now, this is the good part of the test. Not that the other part is bad, but that's the part that talks about spiritual sight. The rest tell us a little bit about spiritual blindness. Then Jesus turned to the people that are around Him, not just to the man He's speaking, but He's speaking to people who were around Him at that moment, and He says, for judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. We learned from John 3:17 that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Doesn't mean that this is contradicting what we read in John 3:17. Yes, Jesus came to save the world. But I think that as it happened to all of us as Christians, what we find in 2 Corinthians 5, that we are the aroma of Christ to those who are being saved, but we are also the aroma of Christ to those who are perishing. An aroma of life to life, an aroma of death to death. Jesus coming, His presence, yes, brings salvation to those who trust in Him, but at the same time, judgment and expose the sin of those who do not believe in Him. Here, I think, an important question. He came into the world that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Who are those who do not see, and who are those who see that will become blind? Certainly, Jesus is not talking about here spiritual, physical sight and blindness. Those who do not see spiritually will receive sight, and those who, I would say they see, they will become blind. The way to answer this question, I think a help that we get from the text is what we find in verse 41. Jesus said to them, to the religious leaders, if you were blind, you will not have guilt. But now that you say, we see. Who are those who see that will become blind? Are those who say that they see. In this case, were the religious leaders. A couple of weeks ago, I had a good conversation with a couple that I really enjoy a lot talking with them. And as we were talking, the man was telling me, he heard about what we do here in the church. And one thing that he encouraged me to do was take credit for everything. That was funny. He said, take credit for everything. Do not give credit to God. Take credit for everything, he said to me. And he also said, by the way, actually I was having a Thanksgiving meal with my family, and I told them, do not give thanks to God, give me thanks to me. I was the one who gave you this meal. And then he goes on to say, I don't believe in anything. And you could see certainty in his voice. He was really certain that he did not believe anything. His wife, on the other hand, said, I don't know how he cannot believe in God. don't know. And I'm not saying that you could see that that she have faith right now at that moment in Jesus. One thing I know is that she was ready to accept if Jesus opens the word to her. So I could say that this man was like they who say they see. It's those who think that they know enough and are ready to reject anything else because they say, I know, I see. Remember when Jesus said, you say, we see, what they saw is that Jesus was no God. We saw you are no God, and we are certain of that. I also have another interaction with another woman after a worship service when she came to me and said, I have never read the word of God, but I don't believe in it. She have not even read to know if she believed or not, but she was ready to say, I don't believe. Because she will say, I see, I know. But this man, whom God gave physical sight, he also gave spiritual sight to be vulnerable before Jesus and to say, who is he, sir, that I might believe in him? I want to know. Therefore, he received spiritual sight. Or I would say he received the spiritual sight and then he received salvation because he was able to trust in Jesus. The Pharisees who were near him were upset about Jesus' words and they say, are we blind also? Are you saying that we, the Pharisees who know everything, we are the teachers of the law? Are we blind also? Are you sure you're saying that we are blind also? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. You are not ready to accept that you need Jesus. Therefore, your guilt remains. Because the only way your guilt is removed is if you trust in Jesus for salvation. They had no salvation because they were coming to God with their own righteousness as if they were right before God. And the only way anyone can be forgiven is if you trust in Jesus for salvation. Here is the wonderful thing for you. If you are a believer, you have received spiritual sight to see Jesus for who he is. You have trusted in Jesus, and it is not because you were better than others or smarter than others to understand Jesus, but because you have been given new life in Christ. And for that, you have to be thankful. For that, you have to thank God and worship him. I ask sometimes my small group a question. I say, have you seen Jesus face to face? And everybody, of course, answers, no, we have not. But I've asked a follow-up question. Do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And everybody say, yes, I do. Only because you have received a spiritual sight, you can see Jesus. But if you have not until this moment, my prayer and the prayers of your friends here in the church is that you get to see Jesus. That you are one of those who were blind and have received sight. Because if you do that, your sin will not, or your guilt will not remain, but you will be forgiven. Therefore, you will have eternal life. Therefore, you will understand what we are about to do when we partake of the Lord's Supper. Because we take these elements by faith in Jesus. Only because Jesus has opened the eyes of our hearts. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that though we were sinners, we were dead in our sins, unable to understand that you are Savior, the Son of Man, who have given all dominion. We thank you that you open the eyes of our hearts to see you for who you are, and to see ourselves for who we are, sinners in desperate need of your grace. We thank you for that. We thank you that you have given us eternal life through the forgiveness of our sins, through your sacrifice on the cross, and that you have brought us together today in remembrance of you to partake of these elements together in remembrance of you, to be nourished by you. We thank you for that. We pray, Lord, for anyone in this place, in this moment, who still don't know you, that you may open the eyes of his heart, that he who is blind may be able to see and be saved. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to partake together of the Lord's Supper. Every time we partake together of the Lord's Supper, we do this in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what we remember is that Christ, who is God, emptied himself. He became a human. He dwelt among us. And he went to the cross. And on the cross, he died for our sins. That he took our place on the cross to give us eternal life. We remember that Jesus was resurrected, also giving us hope of eternal life and resurrection. And we remember and we announce that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And we are looking forward to that moment when Christ will come and we will be united to him forever. But we are also spiritually nourished, because every time we partake of these elements is a participation in the blood, in the flesh of Christ. It's a koinonia with Christ. So we are spiritually nourished as well. So it's in remembrance, but at the same time, spiritual, real spiritual food for us. One thing that is important for you before you take this is that you need to make sure that you are discerning the body of Christ. What does that mean? It means that you have trusted in Jesus for salvation. That as the blind man said, "Sir, who is he that I might believe?" You said that at some point, and you believe in Jesus. We don't want you to take these elements if you are not yet a Christian, because you will be taking judgment to yourself. So being a Christian and being baptized, which is the external sign of our internal reality, is important as we partake of these elements. But remember, it's a blessing. It's a blessing that God has given to you. It's an ordinary means of God's grace. It's God's grace to you through these ordinary elements. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you prepare our hearts to partake of these elements, that you may nourish our souls, that you may help us to remember your work on the cross for us, for our salvation. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.